Blog Talk Radio.
Oh man, it was just the beginning of everything for me. Let's just say that. If I was to describe it, I would say the beginning of everything. The beginning of the limelight, the beginning of my voice, the beginning of the stardom track. And I learned a lot, and Hair Radio carried me so far to, I just can't describe the excitement and how happy and how Hair Radio changed my life.
Oh.
Hair Radio changed my life, and it's because of Hair Radio that I was able to continue to push through, able to continue to build and go forth.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Gary Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
She just wants to be beautiful, she goes. Unnoticed, she knows no limits. She craves attention, she praises an image. She prays to be sculpted by the sculptor. Oh, she don't see the light that's shining deeper than the eyes can find it. Maybe we're made of blind souls. She tries to cover up her pain and cut her woes away. As cover girls don't cry to the face of mate, but there's a hope that's waiting for you in the dark. You should know you're beautiful just the way you are, and you don't have to change a thing. The world could change its heart. No scars, so you're beautiful. With stars, and we're beautiful. Oh, girls eat nothing. She says beauty is pain and there's beauty in everything. What's a little bit longer? I can go a little while longer. She fades away. She don't see her perfect. She don't understand. She's worth it. All that beauty goes deeper than the surface. Oh, oh. So to all the girls that's hurting, let me be your mirror. Help you see a little bit clearer.
Just the way you are, and you don't have to change a thing.
it's like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Wow. I'm always asked why and how and who and what and where and when. Like, what really, why does it matter so much to me that people succeed? Well, I'm Carrie Hines, and I think it's something that I take on a personal level. Just like you, I had folks who might not have been able to really see what your talent or your vision or what you're all about was really about. And we need that support. We need it. I'm no different. But when I really began my business journey, I just could not stand by and let others fail. So I've done everything I can to inspire, encourage, uplift. And I think it matters. I think I see it here at the Hair Radio Morning Show, each broadcast, the responses, the feedback. And it's telling me that we're on the right track. We're on the right track. Support us. Pass along this incredible gem that we have each morning. Pass along what we do here and the economical opportunities to advertise and help shape our communities. It's up to you.
We'll be right back.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois. And that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have 2 little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
You Go Girl. You Go Girl is a brand new product line that includes an edge control hairsprays and a product that also offers relief to those dealing with an itchy scalp. Now, if you're looking to moisturize and hold twists and locks in place, You Go Girl offers a gel cream. And for the hair braiders out there, You Go Girl has a hair brand that's made of the highest of quality hair. Now, it's available in a variety of colors and textures. So, go to www.yougogirlbraidhair.com. That's you like uniform, gogirlbraidhair.com. And tell them you heard about them right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You Go Girl.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. I'd like to welcome to the show Mr. Vincent Ellis White. Now, he is an author of a book called Finding Chris, My Father. I'd like to welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Vincent. Welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate you for having me.
Yes. And, well, first of all, and that's Vincent Ellis White. I want to make sure that's clear. Now, you are the author of this book, and I think it has such a very interesting subject matter that it deals with. Tell us about Finding Chris, My Father. What is it all about?
Okay, well, the book Finding Chris, My Father is a memoir that I wrote and published myself, and it's about my very intriguing story growing up dealing with fatherlessness. And to give you a quick synopsis of it, I grew up with a father that was a habitual offender, so he was in and out of jail, and he was definitely in more times than he was out. So I was raised, you know, like a lot of our other young African-American males, I was raised with just my mother in a single-parent, single-income home. And she used to take me to visit him 2 to 3 times a week at the prison, but she told me he was in school. And so I was a young kid. So, you know, when you're a young kid, you listen to your parents, and everything they say is golden. So, you know, I believed whatever she was telling me. She could have told me he was a unicorn. I probably would have believed it. But I thought he was in school. And, you know, my friends that read the book, they said, how would you not know he's in jail? And I said, well, you know, they're thinking I'm seeing jail bars, but I never saw any jail bars. I sat at a picnic table with him. And I'd be able to interact with him. I could touch him, give him a hug, you know, play basketball with him, met his friends and stuff like that. So in my mind, you know, he was in school, and that's what it was for a while. It wasn't until my, you know, adolescence, until I got a little bit older, that I realized you can't be in school for 18 years, you know, straight. You got to come out and be a doctor or something by then. So I knew something was going on at that point.
How did you feel when you realized that he was incarcerated? How did you feel at that point when you found out he was incarcerated?
And that's a good question, because I started to like every, as I said before, everything my mom said was golden, man, because I never know her to, like, you know, fabricate anything for me. But that showed me that, you know, she does shield things from me, her son, and, you know, it also showed me that my dad, you know, was doing the same thing. And I started acting out. You know, I was smelling myself a little bit in my preteens and teen years. So, you know, just like how other teens do, I started acting up, you know, and not just acting up, but I had a lot of anger inside of me because of different things. I saw my mother struggling with one income. I saw him popping in and out of her life. You know, I had that lie that was told to me and all kind of other things that was happening that I just needed a disciplinarian in the home. And even though my mother was very, you know, strict and stern about certain things, there's nothing like that male figure being in the home. You know what I mean? And, but the shocker was when I turned 16 years old, my mother sat me down and she said, Vince, she was like, your father, you know, that you, I know you know and love and all the other stuff. She said, I want to let you know it's something that's been on my heart for a long time and I've been feeling guilty about it. And she said, your father that you know is your father is not your biological father. And we got into this big, huge argument because I blew up on her. And I always had this big respect for my mother, man. But I never got any arguments with her or anything. That's how I was raised. But I blew up on it because I was like, you know, first of all, this was a second lie. But then this was a huge lie because even though I had mad animosity for this man for different reasons, I loved him to death. I loved when he came around, when he was home. You know, I loved visiting him and just all kind of things. So it just kind of turned my, put a whirlwind inside of my life, really. And I felt like I couldn't really trust anybody. I was asking her questions. She wasn't really answering them. She was more concerned with, you know, how was I dealing with that news. But, you know, I actually, after I got that news, I just started doing some different stuff, man. Like, I actually went and disowned his side of the family. And I was very close with them. Like, I spent time with them, equal amount of time with them as I did with my mom's side, because even though he wasn't there, his family was there for me my entire life. So I disowned everybody. And my rationale was that, they're not my blood. And I thought like I was the butt of a big joke and like everybody, you know, knew the secret about me. I didn't find out until later that nobody knew. But I disowned the family and I only was like really rocking with my mom's side of the family, which I said, I know they're my blood because I know I came from her mom, you know, so the last name White, I was only rocking with that side of the family. And My family was mad at me. I mean, it was all kind of stuff going on, man. And I ended up
so where? Sure, just to follow your story. Where does what happened to your actual father then? Did your mother tell you at that time?
Well, that's what I was getting to. So I graduated from high school, went to college, and when I turned 21, I called my family and I said I was changing my last name. And that's where I got more news at. I told my mom, I was changing my middle and last name. My name, my choir name was Vincent Lopez Mapp III. And I changed my name to Vincent Ellis White. And my rationale at the time of being 21 years old was that I knew the last name Ellis because my grandfather had that last name that I grew up with partially. And I knew the last name White was my blood. And I didn't look at the other side of my blood. So that lets you know I was going through an identity crisis. At that point is when my mom started giving me more information on it. I guess she thought I couldn't handle it until then. But she said, well, listen, you know, I already told you your family didn't know anything about the secret, but you've been so angry at your stepfather and then now your biological father. And she was like, I never told him about you. And I said, wait, what? And she was like, I never told Chris Anderson about you. Because at 16, all she told me was that my dad's name was Chris Anderson. That was it. She didn't give me any more information or anything. So then she told me she never told my biological father about me. So I had to transfer all that anger that I had for him thinking he was a deadbeat dad, like, elsewhere. So I was just acting out. But then I started looking for him as well.
And well, so, was your mother, like, a teenager at this time, like, when you were born?
No,
this sounds like something maybe a teenager would do. You said 35.
No, it's... No, 25. But listen,
oh, 25,
okay. It's funny you say that because you think that, but I work for the state now for the Division of Child Support Enforcement.
Uh-huh.
And you would be surprised how many mothers have done this same thing. Trust me, it's not a teenage thing. It's not an immature thing, because I deal with mothers that are in their 30s that do it. It's a family secret. It's an embarrassment, you know, type thing. So what happened in talking to my mother as I got older was my mom said that my biggest mistake was not telling your, like, me and your father parted ways and I found out I was pregnant. And she said, and I should have told him, but I didn't. And then I met the guy that you thought was your father, and he was telling me, you know, worry about it. I'll take care of Vince like he's my own. He ended up signing my birth certificate, so he gave me his entire name. But nobody told me.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
What a dynamic person, Anna. Yeah.
Right. So later on, my mother tried to tell me, but at that point, I found out that the person I thought was my dad started putting his hands on my mother. So he threatened her, like,
you know,
tell him my secret. So like I said, it's not just a thing of no immaturity, but it's like it was guilt. It was, you know, being physically abused.
Wow.
It was all kind of stuff. And
well, Vincent, this is a little bit of a different story too, because okay, so the gentleman that you believe was your father, who was supportive as he wanted to sign that birth certificate and actually be your father, unlike a lot of folks today, and then he didn't want you to even know that you knew that he wasn't your father. That really doesn't happen all that much. I mean, really, I know it. I mean, I haven't heard of it too often. We see the opposite play out every day on Mari Povich's show. So this is something that seems a little different.
Well, I mean, like I say, a lot of people are going to be very subjective with their opinions on this. Like, and I see both, especially me working with child support now, but I can see the good intentions in the beginning. I definitely see that. On the flip side, I don't recall him being such a great father, just to be honest. So, you know, because he wasn't there, I mean, for a lot of stuff, like even, you know, just giving me positive reinforcement and a positive role model. And those are attributes that a good, you know, father should possess as well. It was great that he stepped up, but when you step up, you got to step all the way up. You know what I'm saying?
I totally agree.
Yeah, you can't get somebody your name and not tell them that you're not their father, but then you don't do anything. And later on, it's not only going to be a mighty blow when they find out that you're not their father, but it's already been a big blow because you haven't even been there. So what I tell people actually is I say, hey, not only was I dealt a mighty blow to find he was my father, but on the low, I was kind of relieved because he hadn't been there, and I was kind of embarrassed the fact that all my friends knew I had a father in jail. You know what I mean? So I was looking forward to finding Chris, but then at the same time I got disappointed because I thought Chris was trying to not be in my life either. Found out that he didn't know, and the beauty of
and
it
all that you had to go on was, you know, whatever your mother was kind of doling out to you in bits and pieces.
Right. And the same thing, she didn't know any of his siblings. She didn't know any of his siblings or anything like that. And his name was so common. I like to share this one funny story. His name was so common that she had been looking for him to find him for me because she saw the hurt that I was dealing with and having him there. And she said that one time social services contacted her back and said, we think we found him. And so she rushed down into the social service office, like, you know, hoping to find my dad. And she said, they bring out a white man.
Chances are it's probably
like,
not your dad.
and so, but the funny thing is, they were trying to convince her, well, this fits your description. No, that's, you're missing something critical there. He's not black, he's not white. So that was the funny part.
Wow.
I changed my name and all kind of stuff, but I don't want to give the whole story to the listener. They definitely got to get Finding Chris, My Father, the book. But I will tell you all, I ended up finding my father in the way that I met him and found
him. Well, hold on. Well, we're going to hold that. We're going to hold that for just a bit because I want to turn to your motivation for writing this book. And then we'll get into, I know, you know, that you do a lot of social type work now. But let's get into, so what was the motivation? When did you say, well, you know what? I've got to write a book about this. What was that motivation?
Okay, so
we know that you went through the story, but what was the motivation for writing this book?
You know, that, and that's a great question, because when I met my dad, I didn't write the book right away. I had no thoughts on writing a book. Didn't know anything about writing a book. And all of a sudden, I was, just sitting there, and I was thinking about the crazy turn of events that happened when I was, meeting my dad and going through the whole thing. And so I'm like, I gotta sit down and try to jot this. And so I sit down, and I'm like, all right, let me sit back and try to, write this down. And so I'm like, I don't know the first thing about writing a book. So I just started writing it like old school, like how you write a paper in class. And I'm like writing an outline. I'm going off the top of the head and everything like that. And I start putting this book together. I'm telling my dad about it. And he's like, you don't know about writing. I'm like, but I got to write this book because I feel like it's going to help me be fair. It's going to be therapeutic for me and maybe somebody else. But that's it. That's the only thought I had, maybe somebody else. It was more so trying to help me work through some things I was dealing with. And I wrote the book. And after that, I didn't even really push it like that. But it started getting in the hands of a lot of people. And people were like, I want you to come tell your story. Not only was I not a writer, but I wasn't a motivational speaker. Like, I was very outgoing, but I didn't do the motivational speaking thing. So I was, like, turning stuff down. But they were like, come on, come speak. And I would just share the story. But when I share a story like this, and it's my own story, I'm so passionate, with this thing that, like, I started captivating audiences, and people were standing up testifying, guys and girls, older and younger were testifying. The audience was growing, and people were, like, crying, and I mean, it was crazy, and it was one particular time is when I realized it was no longer about me, and probably never was about me. It was God using me as a vessel, but I was in Newport News, Virginia, speaking, and this guy stood up with a hardened face, and he was like, I just got out of jail not too long ago, and I don't never stand up and speak in front of people, and I never cried in front of anybody, but he was like, you got me, like, in tears over here. And he was like, I don't know my father. And the reason I've been going out of jail and dealing with gangs and violence and anger and all this other stuff is because I don't know my dad. I need a dad there. And then we talked. The whole audience was crying. All people stood up and shared their testimony. And that day I said, okay. I mean, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, okay, this is no longer about me. I said, this is about me helping other people. And I was so glad that I wrote the book at that point. So that became my motivation. Even though the book was already written, my motivation was now to uplift people that are dealing with fatherlessness. And it just so happened that same day, I met these two guys that said that they do stage plays. And I turned them down three times. I was like, I don't know anything about stage plays. But they kept pushing and pushing and pushing. They bought my book. We started working on a cast and script, doing casting. And I'm looking like, where is God trying to take me here? Because all I wanted to do was write a book for myself. And next thing you know, it's like I'm going all over the place traveling. I got a pending stage play. I knew I didn't have any money for a stage play, but we were like, we're going to put it on somehow. We put it on in Tidewater area of Virginia, and we had a small response. But I wanted to bring it back home to where I'm from, which is Richmond, Virginia. And I brought it back home, and no money to advertise or anything. And next thing you know, man, this thing just took a life of its own. Like, we sold our shows. People started donating to it, like nonprofit organizations started donating to it. Public figures, private donors. And we had money to make it travel. We got it on the news. NBC called me. CBS, ABC. I did two on ABC. And so I just started getting, like, exposure, and just started blowing up. And then more blessings were coming because people were coming up to me after my show saying, I'm dealing with that right now. Like, young adults, it was older adults. To answer your question about my mom earlier, here's another example. I had some ladies that had to be in their 40s, late 40s, maybe early 50s, that came to me and said, listen, I have a son or daughter right now, and I have not told them about their father, somebody different than who they know. And, I mean, they were way older than my mom. You see what I'm saying? And I said, you haven't told them? Why not? And they tell me their reason why not. And so I immediately go in because it just hits my heart. I'm like, listen, you got to tell them. I don't care how old he is, 13, 18, 20. We go back and forth about it because they tell me their reason for not telling him. And I said, man, end of the day, it's selfish. Like, you got to let them know. And though I've exchanged numbers with them, and they contact me back. And, like, they contacted me back and said, since talking to you and seeing your play and reading your book, I went ahead and told my son. And, you know, and they keep up with me. And, you know, some of them have said, you know, now my son is so glad. I told him he was mad at first, but now he's met his dad. And you know, another lady told me he's met his family. I mean, it's just been so many breakthroughs and blessings from me sharing my story. To even going further, I mean, that's just a few testimonies. But they happen in the droves every time I have a stage play or I do a motivational speaking, to the point that I just knew it was no longer about me at that point. It was more so about the masses and the people. And, you know, all the things that's happening nowadays in society, just the elevated incarceration and the violence and everything, you usually can stem that back to a big factor being no father in the home. Right? I mean, they always, if you do the research and get the statistics, there's always no father in the home. So we can actually, I'm glad like Obama has that, you know, my brother's keeper and things going on, the Fatherhood Initiative, because that's where it starts. If we can fix that area in the home, a lot of this stuff will just get filtered out and it goes towards in a more positive direction. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I know exactly what you mean. I like when I've read that you referred to it as the father factor. So that's what it sounds like you were just explaining, but feel free to tell everybody exactly what the father factor is a little bit more.
Yeah, I call it the father factor, it's actually referred to as the father wound. But it is the father factor because it's usually the common denominator of a lot of these negative traits that people are possessing, negative symptoms, these reactions people are having. If you were to take any of them, one out of every three young adults has grown up without a father, especially in African-American communities, one out of every three. So we want to narrow it down to that. And there's no disciplinarian in the home. There's nobody for a male or female to learn from, a male to model himself after. And a female is supposed to give her heart up to her father first. If there's no father there, she has no, you know, male role model there, and therefore, if you look up the symptoms of a young female not having a father in the home, it's usually like promiscuity, you know, maybe not trusting men, or on the flip side, like giving almost every man your heart because you're looking for your father. You know, so things like that, not having a high value, high self-esteem because of that. And for males, if there's no father in the home, you know, they may go towards gangs, they may go towards violence, they harbor a lot of anger like I did. They harbor a lot of anger, and they take it out in other ways. They may, you know, have domestic violence on their girlfriends. You know, so there's so many symptoms that all resort back to the father's factor and the father wound. And so I say wound because a lot of people think that it's just young people. But that's so incorrect. It's millions of adults that are out here, 30, 40, 50, 60, just walking around with a father wound. And their wound is that I never had my father at home. Whatever the case may be, some of them are still looking. I still want him there. I want to know why he left. Why did he put his hands on my mom? Why did he do this? Why did he do that? And they still need that answer. Now, if you ask them, they're not going to tell you that because they don't know how to express that. A lot of them say, I don't need him. I don't need him. I just need my mom. But yes, you do. You need him. And if you don't need him, you need some questions answered. Even those questions answered may help you. And so
it sounds like you're talking about closure. For these the children of these fatherless homes, if you will.
And you still have to send it to adults with no closure.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, this is just interesting, I have to tell you. Wow. All right. Well, hold on. If folks out there, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, I have with us today, he's the author of Finding Chris, My Father. And it's a book out that speaks to the lack of a father in being in the homes, and I'm sure how it influences the children or the whole family, all of the dynamics, I'm sure. So this has been turned into a play. You started the trek to look for your own father, Chris, of course. which is the title, Finding Chris, My Father. We haven't gotten to the part yet about you finding him, so we're going to get to that in just a moment. But what led you to, or how did this lead you to the work that you do currently with the social work?
It feels like it was indirectly because I like to joke with people, tell that I have so many different degrees and none of them go together and none of them are in the work that I do now. So I just feel like it's a divine intervention that I end up in this field because I have an undergrad degree in mass communication. I have a master's degree in education. And I have an executive graduate certificate in business management. So none of the three are the same. And, you know, when you grow up, they teach you together and get your degrees in the same thing.
Right.
Now, fortunately, I was able to make them all work out now with what I do. But at first, I didn't have any degree in this field. And I was just working odd jobs here and there. And all of a sudden, I started mentoring part-time. And when I started mentoring part-time, the mentoring was just so fulfilling working with these young adults, and as you mentor, you know, you build rapport with them, I started noticing that none of the kids that I mentor had any fathers yet. Not only that, they were coming from group homes, foster homes. You know, some of them may have had a mental health issue or something like that. So I started, and it started just, you know, of course, touching my heart because it's what I went through. And, I took a full-time job as a life skills coach working with young adults. And all of these guys I worked with were great young adults, I mean, full of potential, but they had so much baggage, and it was that father factor. I can't tell you one of them had a father, to be honest with you. I mean, I remember them all. Or if they had a father, the father was putting their hands on them, or you just being a horrible example of a father, and they were mimicking that. So I just started to really develop a passion for working with these young adults. And I said, man, it's crazy I don't have a degree in this, but I really want to pursue this. So I just started, I said, look, I just took it to God. I'm like, if you can get me, you know, whatever job I was applying to, I know the degree is asking for this, but I have this heart and this passion. If you can get me in an interview, I'll kill it. And I go in an interview, and they're like, you don't have a degree in this, but I have the experience. And I would get an interview, get the job, and I started working. I worked at the Richmond Department of Social Services. I worked as a life skills coach. I've worked as a counselor. I worked in benefits. I've just worked with youth and families for a long time, even to the point now I've worked at the Mayor's Youth Academy. The Mayor of Richmond has a youth academy for young adults to help them, you know, be on the right track. I was a counselor there. I worked at prison. I worked as a CO. I worked as a counselor, a youth counselor in a prison. I mean, I've worked with so many different young adults and adults that all, as I talk to them and as I have counseling groups and sessions, guess what? The father factor is a common denominator every time. And I don't even mean for it to happen like that, but it's just a real fact in life. And so now I work for the Division of Child Support Enforcement, and of course, I hope you can guess, the father not being there and is just a huge thing with the Division of Child Support Enforcement as well. And I want to be clear, it's not always the father, because we have plenty of non-custodial parents that are mothers, that are uncles, and, you know, aunts and everything. But just to keep it all the way real with you, though, it's the highest percentage is fathers not being there. And so I have a passion for it. So it falls in line with everything that I do. My degrees actually work now because mass comm is just all about basically, you know, speaking and communication. I do that all the time now with my work I do with my books and plays. Business, I have my own LLC that I do educational workshops. I sell books. I do my plays. So the business management piece is there. And then the master's in education, I educate people all the time. I work in, you know, schools and things like that when I speak. So now I've been able to tie all my degrees in together, which is a beautiful thing. And that's something I was asking God for a long time. Now I'm able to tie them in together. So, you know, it's been great.
Well, I'll tell you, I like when I read VEW Enterprises, VIEW Enterprises, I would imagine. I love it. I thought it was such a great name.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Yes, as an entrepreneur. Now, just to go back just a little bit, because I like this information that you've just explained about really the whole subject. But what I didn't ask you is that why do you think we have so much of this prevalent in our community where we don't have the fathers present in the homes? What do you think? I'm just curious.
You know,
on your take on this.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and it will be just that. It'll be just a think, because I do not proclaim to have the answer, and I like to just have open discussion and awareness, because I don't have the answer. And I actually had somebody tell me on another interview I did recently, they were saying that it goes back to slavery. And I said, man, you know, I didn't even think about it that far back. You know, I'm only thinking about what I see and, you know, going back to what I, you know, what I've encountered and stuff like that. But they broke it down to me saying that, you know, go back to slavery and, you know, and the men being stripped away from the families and, you know, losing their sense of pride, things like that. And that was an interesting perspective. So in answering your question, it'll only be just a perspective of what I think. But so my answer to that is just that I believe that a lot of our men nowadays have not been taught and have forgotten what it's like to be kings and to fulfill our purpose that God designed for us. And I say that to say, you know, God didn't design for these broken families. You know, God designed for man and woman to be in the family and for the man to be the provider, the protector, and, you know, just the king in the home. You know what I mean? And I don't mean king in any type of, like, I rule everything, you know, you have no say type thing. But you know what I mean, just a king. Like, you taking care of the home, you making sure everybody's straight. The kids straight, you praying over the family, things like that. And so when men started to stray from that role that is designed for them, now everything breaks apart. Keep in mind, it's just my opinion, but I believe that everything breaks apart. So now you got these amazing women that have to step up outside of their role and have to play both sides. The woman now has to play father and definitely be the mother. So they're designed to be nurturing and do all those great things, but they're not designed to be the top provider like a man is supposed to be. They're not designed to be the protector like a man is supposed to be. Now, they do a great job at it, and they raise kings, you know, even like me. I was raised by a woman that did it. But the thing about it is like, imagine if it stayed like the way God designed it. Imagine if that happened. I just don't think we have a lot of these incarcerated brothers. I don't think we have these guys on unemployment and these, you know, guys in the project and these guys committing different types of crimes. If we had men that were stepping up and being who God designed them to. And so that's where I am with it. I want to raise kings. I want to let these men know that, hey, listen, before you think you ain't nothing, and before you think this all I'm ever going to be is, you know, whatever you're doing, this crimes or whatever, you actually are designed to be much more. But nobody told you. You know what I mean? Nobody set an example for you to know that you're supposed to be that. And the only way I knew it is that my mom told me, and then my faith in God and matured. But I didn't have nobody to take my eyes upon to see that. You know what I mean? I had my grandfather that was there. He was a great example. So I think he helped too, but he died when I was younger. But I didn't have a father that was supposed to be there to say, hey, son, don't do that. That's leading you down the wrong path. Hey, do this, do that. Look at me. And, you know, I don't think it's just fatherhood either. To go on a little different subject, I think it also is about relationships too. A lot of men can't really perform in the proper way in a relationship, and that's why we cheat and we do this and that. Because if we had that father in the home that not only did those things I spoke about earlier as far as protecting, but imagine if you're a young man and you see your daddy treating your mom like a queen, like he holding doors, he, you know, getting her what she needs, he take care of her when she's hurting, he talk to her, he communicate with her. He only has one wife, one woman. When you grow up, you're going to want to mimic that. But on the flip side, in reality, we got a lot of guys out there not being home. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? They got different women that they're bringing in and out of their life. Sometimes even they tell their son, hey, don't say nothing. You know what I mean? So just keeping it real. So imagine you got that. That's what you see. Then you're going to exemplify that negative characteristic later on. And then you out here being a player just like Papa was. You know what I'm saying? So it all stems back to that father factor. But it's not just about fatherhood. It's about what example are we setting. And it's based on what our parents said. You see what I'm saying? So
yes, completely.
Like
wow. Well, Vincent, I have to ask you. Now, if someone, let's take a look. If someone is going through the same situation that you've been through, and as you mentioned earlier, we did talk a little bit about this, but what advice would you give to someone now who is finding out that someone who they thought was their father now is not their father? Speak to that a little bit, if you would. Just what advice would you tell that person? What would the Vincent now say to the Vincent then?
That actually happened to me. So I'll give you a real example. That happened. I went to my alma mater, Norfolk State, in April, and I spoke on the panel. And I spoke about my story, trying to touch my father. And this kid came up to me. He waited in line for a long time. And he had a screw face on when he came up to me. And he started talking to me. He was like, man, your story is so real. Like, you actually have lived what I'm currently going through. And I had to elaborate. He said, I don't know my father. You know, and I just found out who he is. I found him on Facebook. And he said, I reached out to him, but he doesn't want to talk to me. And his face just got tighter and tighter as he was talking to me. And I said, well, first of all, I said, you got to release that anger that you got going on right now. He's like, I'm not angry. I said, nah, it's on your face. I see it. And so I said, you got to release this anger. He's like, well, he should have did this and this. I said, look, you know I know. You know I know. Because I was you at 16. I was very angry. And you couldn't even mention father to me because I snapped. And so he kind of loosened up, and we talked. And he was like, I don't think I need to meet him. I said, hey, I only reached out. I said, but see, this is the thing. You reached out because you do need to meet him. It's something inside of you that yearns to hear from him. I told him, I said, you know what, your outcome may not be as great as mine was, just realistically speaking. I said, he could be a bum, or he could just be dead. He could be, you know, a regular guy. You just never know. But the thing is, you still need to hear from him and have that time to dialogue with him because of that closure piece that you mentioned earlier. Even if you meet him and he says straight up, I don't want nothing to do with you, it's going to hurt, but you at least got an answer from him. Or you might meet him and he said, oh, my God, I never knew about you. You see what I'm saying? So when I told him all of that, he was nodding and listening, and it was breaking walls down as I was telling him. And he said, I never thought about it like that. I said, right. And when I was 16, nobody broke it down to me like that. But I now know, as an older gentleman now, I know that there's always another side to the story. It don't mean the side is great, but I'm just saying you need to hear from him. I said, listen, reach out to him. Remove the animosity. Find a way, whether it be, you know, pray to whoever you believe in or just go to a quiet place. But remove the animosity, so you can't come to him with that, because then he's gonna turn away. And I was like, you gotta also remember too, he might be feeling guilty as well. Don't think he's just staying away because he's staying away. He might say, I messed up in the first 5 years, but now it's already been 5 years on. I might as well stay away another five because I feel so guilty. I wasn't there for the first five. I just said, see, you gotta ask him why. You know what I mean? You gotta hear the answer from him. And you know, he was against it at first, but as I kept talking, me and him exchanged numbers too. This is real stories. And he kept texting me periodically to give me updates. But you know his most recent text? This is no lie.
What's that?
Hand to God. He said, Vincent, I just want to keep in touch with you like I told you I would. He said, I'm going to meet my dad at this next week or something like that, next week. He said, I'm kind of nervous, but I'm excited too because we talked on Facebook. I let him talk. I didn't come at him like in a negative way. And now I'm about to meet him for the first time. And he said, I would never even go to meet him had I not met you. And so my advice to young people that are dealing with this is that, you know, you got to face your fears. You got to at least try to have an adult conversation with this person, even if you're mad at them or whatnot. You got to have open communication with them. I think it's going to help as far as the closure. It's going to help with their anger. And not always anger. Sometimes it's just confusion. It's going to help with those question marks floating around in your head. Who is he? Well, what did he do? Why did he walk away? Why did he stay? And on the real, it might have been something, you know, your mom did. See, it's so many different variables to this that you can't just go on what your mom said. You can't just go on what your thoughts are. You got to hear all the different sides. So that's what I
would
say.
Well, I think, sure, thank you very much. Now, I think this is a great point for us to kind of go back to your story. So you had been searching and searching. You know, you were told that the person you thought was your father all this time was not your father, and he was incarcerated, this person you thought was your father, and you had all kinds of feelings of frustration for different levels and so forth and so on, and you found out your mother had told you what turned out to be something false a time or two regarding the person you thought was your father. How did it all come to be that you actually move closer to discovering Chris?
It was actually by happenstance. And, you know, this is kind of like the climax in the book, really, but it was like happenstance.
Ending of the book. Do not give us the ending of Finding Chris, My Father, because we want to pick up the book. So we're gonna park it when we get real close to that point, because I want to make sure everybody gets this book, including myself. I think it's a great idea. It's a great subject, and we'll talk more about it. But I'll let you finish because I really like this idea.
Yeah, so, and I'll stop right before that. So what happened is, like, you know, I graduated from college, and I'm just going on with life. Like, I go get my undergrad degree, I get my master's, and I'm doing what I call masking, which is where, like, I'm able to put on this mask, like everything's fine. And, you know, it's possibly going great, you know, career and degree and whatnot, but there's this piece that's missing. But I keep in mind, we had no information. So I literally didn't hear anything about, you know, a Chris or anybody at that point, from, you know, graduating undergrad till, you know, in my later 20s. And, like I said, I don't want to give away the story, so this is the part I have to stop at. But I will just tell you this. I ended up meeting him, but when I tell you the story, it's crazy. Like, it's just so unbelievable. Y'all got to get the book, Finding Chris, My Father. I'm telling you. You can get it on Amazon.com. So you just go to Amazon, and you know, you can type in Finding Chris, My Father. It's on Kindle and paperback. It's on a lot of sites. You know, it's on BarnesandNobles.com, things like that. But Amazon's probably the most popular place that everybody goes to. So it's there. You know, you can definitely follow me on social media, because I update everything on there. It's links to the book, excerpts and play stuff. So, I mean, motivational speaking engagement. And so I'm on Facebook. My name is Vincent Ellis White. I'm on Instagram, Vincent Ellis White, and Twitter is Vince Ellis White. So definitely follow me on there. But get the book on Amazon.com, man. Find the trick. I guarantee you'll love it. I want to tell you, too, not only is it a travel stage play and God just keeps expanding my audience, but I recently had a Hollywood producer take a strong interest in it and option my book. And what that means is that they say they want to turn the book into a stage play. So my book has been optioned. Into a film. So my book has been optioned to be turned into a motion picture. I'm still taking options, though. So, I mean, I'm always looking for another option to see what, you know, the best offer is and whatnot. But I was just shocked, because I never in my dreams would I imagine a story that I looked at as a bad thing would turn out to be blessing so many people and creating awareness. But also, it can ultimately become a film which can hit the theaters and bless the masses and things like that. So it's just a beautiful thing, man.
It sounds like a very beautiful thing. And on that note, I have to say, what in closing might you share with the folks out there, for whatever they're going through, Mr. Vincent Ellis White, what would you say to folks? Because apparently, and you've been dealing with a lot of families on so many different issues, and usually that's relating to this, the father factor or fatherless factor, if you will. What kind of advice would you give overall, or what's your closing thought on folks who are going through things these days as it relates to the family?
Yeah, no problem. My closing thoughts would just be, man, it's really about having hope and being encouraged and being uplifted. You know, man, life, I ain't going to let nobody tell you life is easy. Like, life is tough. We go through something that we think is the toughest thing in the world, then 6 months later we go through something even tougher. So we got to have hope. We have to be encouraged, be uplifted. The thing that saved me was everything from my faith to having mentors. You know, I was in the Boys and Girls Club. I had some strong, positive, you know, male role models there. But now, even as an older man, when I get down, I can have positivity around me. So I tell everybody, man, no matter what you're going through, find some people, some positivity that you can just surround yourself with, just like a big hug, like, and surround yourself with positivity, people that's going to lift you up. Because, you know, if you're already on the verge of breaking, you don't need to be around on negativity. I stay around people that lift me up. So that will give you that hope that you need. You know, hopefully if you're a person of faith, man, just go to that, let that faith build and understand that, you know, whatever the enemy has meant for bad, God can turn around for good. And that's just really what I float on right there. Like, I always think about it. I'm like, oh, my God, this situation is so bad. And that's what I'm thinking about at the time. But then, like, a year or two later, I'm looking back, and it's just that situation turned into something so good. And I'm looking back like, you know, how did that even happen? But if I never had hope, I don't know that I would have got there. So anybody that's listening, no matter if you're going through your father not being there, your mother putting your hands on you, everybody's on drugs in your family except you, you don't have no money, no car, whatever is going on, understand that that's a valley. It's only for a moment. And that moment could be 20 years. But I'm just saying it's only for a moment. You need to have hope, be encouraged, and understand that you can and will get out of that situation. Have faith and surround yourself with the right people. Connect with the right people, and, you know, you're gonna have a breakthrough and get out of that situation. You're not designed to be in that turmoil forever. And so, you know, I believe that you'll all get out of it as long as you have faith and have hope.
Wow.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
I have a product called Organic Love Collection Shea Butter. It's a sensual shea butter. And once you apply it, it reinvigorates the skin. It takes care of blemishes, hyperpigmentation. It has all kinds of beautiful oils in it. And what it does for the hair, the nails, and the skin is to renew it and to make you feel beautiful, and moreover, to restore you to self-love and self-care. We're a Christian organization, and we're in the community trying to educate people on eczema, psoriasis, breaking hair, alopecia, things of that nature. And this product is a cure-all for the whole family. If you grab the jar or the bottle, it comes in a liquid and solid. It deals with eczema within 3 days. The longest it'll take is 7 days to restore your skin. And most of all, it's great for the scalp and very uplifting to the hair. It keeps the hair moist and free of breakage and, moreover, manageable. So as you work with it, if you have natural hair, it won't break. And if you have permed or color processed hair, it'll continue to allow for it to have the elasticity it needs so that your mane grows beautiful and healthy. Currently, we are on social media where business is just starting out. So I started on Instagram, once again, Instagram. Awesome. And the name of the company is Organic Love Collection. And we can also be found through Instagram on Big Cartel. So the product could be purchased at organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Repeat that one more time.
organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Well, Madam C.J. Walker, most everyone has heard of her. And because when I'm in a crowd, let's say 1,000 people, and I ask, how many here of Madam C.J. Walker? And hands go up everywhere. She's an incredible person. She fought against lynching. She gave money for fighting against lynching. She went to Washington, D.C. to help create legislation against lynching. She was a woman of great character who helped to develop entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs. And yet, the question I generally have in a situation like that is, okay, what well did she draw her water from? Who,
right.
What shoulders did she stand on to become who she was? And so I bumped into Annie Malone. And hardly in that same crowd of 1,000 people, you might have 99% of the folks raising their hand about Annie Malone, about the Madam C.J. Walker, but then you might have three or four people
right, exactly.
saying they know who Annie Malone is.
Right.
So I figured I'm going to make it part of my life mission is to help help people know about who Annie Malone is.
Yes.
And because she was...
Yes, go ahead. Go right ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. She was...
Oh, no. She was an incredible person. She was actually... she trained up over 75,000 women entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
She trained Madam C.J. Walker in 1905, and Madam C.J. Walker became a Poro agent, because that was the name of her college, Poro College. She built this beautiful building in St. Louis, Missouri, four stories high. It looks I have an original book that people can get off Amazon if they go to porocollege.com. And Poro College, it's just very simple. The first word is four letters. Poro, P as in Paul, O as in Ocean, R as in Ralph, O as in Ocean, Poro, like P-O-R-O, college.com. And they'll see this building, and then they'll also see a booklet that she published back in 1926. And a part of my Black History collection, yeah, I have an original one of those 1926 booklets. There's very few of them around. And when you open up the booklet, the first thing you start looking at is how incredible this building is. It's like it's straight. If I just showed you a picture of some of the rooms, you would swear it's out of Wall Street, New York. And this particular building was a building where she trained up, as I mentioned, over 75,000 women entrepreneurs who she gave cash awards to for saving accounts or home purchases. She gave a diamond ring to them after 5 years of service. Her philanthropy toward them and toward others was legendary. This building is just an incredible place that she created for this. She owned a whole city block in Chicago. She paid, imagine this, 1926 alone, she paid over $40,000 in taxes. Just think about that.
Amazing.
One of the first people in the entire state of Missouri to own a Rolls Royce. And,
who was actually the very first self-made female African-American millionaire? Annie Malone, or was it, I mean, not that it, you know, is something we should, you know, compare on any level, but I'm just curious because I've always grown up thinking it was Madam C.J. Walker. With all of her, you know, things and accomplishments.
Yeah, from all the research I've done, if I were a betting man, and I'm not a gambling man, but if I were, I'd bet the farm that Annie Malone was the first millionaires of African descent, female millionaires in the country.
And that's
just
what
based
I'm getting.
On the timing.
Why? How on this earth? I try to figure this out as well. How did? And I love Madam. I love both, and all the things that they
no
stand for.
Absolutely. They both are wonderful. Yes.
Absolutely.
And that's not even part of the discussion here.
Right. Exactly. But how on this earth did Madam C.J. Walker take all the things that she learned, which I'm sure was a wonderful tribute to Annie Malone, and seems that only America, it seems like we only remember or know of the accomplishments of the student as opposed to the teacher.
I think a lot of it had to do with Annie Malone. What happened is that she ended up getting married in, I think it was 1924-ish, right around there. And what happened is that after she got married, her husband, he was not a very good man. And... he caused such incredible problems for her that I just shake my head and felt that he was due so much more than and they ended up getting divorced, let me put it that way.
Wow.
And from that point on, what happened is her business became she was a very, if you look at her building and everything that she did, it was incredible, impeccable. You know, clean. It was orderly. It was, you could see the record system she had. My point being is that this was an incredible person. But once, after the wedding, then what happened is that he began to sabotage everything. And so, and she never recovered. Then the IRS got involved, and she never recovered from that at all. Here's a college that employed, in 1926, 175 people with franchise outlets in North America, South America, Africa, the Philippines, a wealthy, wealthy woman. And then at the end of her life, she pretty much dies destitute. And all that's left right now is the orphanage, Annie Malone Orphanage, that was a facility on Good Avenue. I don't know if you remember the song Johnny Be Good by Chuck Berry.
Yes,
he grew up on Good Avenue, right around the corner. And that's where the spelling Johnny Be Good, G-O-O-D-E, in the song, it comes from that Good Avenue.
All the time, I thought it was just Johnny Be Good, G-O-O-D. So,
yeah, G-O-O-D-E. If you look it up on the internet, you'll see that's how it's spelled.
Wow.
And he later became a beautician under the Poro system. He graduated in 1952 because he thought the music thing wasn't going to work. And so he became a beautician. And, of course, his songs just took off. And, you know, he never went back to it. But
Right. Amazing.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
And I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Asway's Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Waiting for the time to pass you by. Hope the winds of change will change your mind. I could give a thousand reasons why, and I know you, and you got to make it on your own, but we don't have to grow up, we can stay forever young. Living on my sofa, drinking rum and cola underneath the rising sun. I could give a thousand reasons why, but you're going, and you know that all you have to do is stay a minute, just take your time. The clock is ticking, so stay. All you have to do is wait a second, your hands on mine. The clock is ticking, so stay. I used to go to bed.
They don't cover this in depth. There's very little coverage about Africa, to me, in my personal opinion. And so what
true.
I've noticed, because, you know, one would think that if this is television, which is the most powerful medium in the way of media, you would think that it would be representative of all folks in that reach of this, of their, you know, broadcast. But that doesn't seem to be the case. And so we wouldn't have to have so much other things if it were more inclusive. So you don't see a whole bunch on Africa. So this is why it's important for us to talk about this whole thing with this 50 folks losing their lives. Now,
adults and children.
I do want to say this. Yeah, it's really sad. It's sad. So please, I know I don't think there's a big update just yet on this, nothing that we have that we can share.
It's not a big update. But at this time, though, Carrie, again, for any of our fans who did not know or have heard the story, on Sunday, gunmen went into a church service in Owo, Nigeria, and opened fire on worshipers, both inside and outside, for those that were trying to flee the church
and escape
the scene.
And I hope this does not catch on with these crazy copycat loony buns.
Exactly. We have so much
anywhere
of that. Exactly.
Wow.
And right now, it's also from witnesses, it's being reported that the gunman detonated some type of explosive as well opening fire. So no one has claimed responsibility for the church killings, but it's being suggested that the gunman came from elsewhere in the West African nation, you know, the country, you know, plagued with violence from various armed groups and so forth. So
yeah, what we're going to say without getting so much, you just keep an eye on the tours. And keep as you
certainly
have been
will
doing.
Give any updates.
Yeah, and follow up on this with us. You know, I have reached out. I have reached out because we have listeners over there in Nigeria and Lagos. And so it's about, Lagos is about 200 miles from Owo. And what I have, one of our Hair Radio Nigeria partners, Mawarin, Mo Warren's birthday is coming up on the 13th, just coincidentally. And so I sent him a message this morning to ask him what is being covered on the news or, you know, about this over in Nigeria itself, sure. Well, Hair Radio is wide-reaching. We're wide-reaching. And we have wonderful partners in Canada, in Ghana, Africa, in Nigeria. We also have partners in Australia, as well as, you know, as many places as we can find folks who are looking to connect with us. And so we are, and we're constantly building. And so that's that. So thank you for that, Nicole Marie. Great job, by the way.
You're welcome.
Very good reporting. Also wanted to turn to, now listen, and I want to get everybody's feedback on this. I really do. And this is where I invite everybody, if you want to chime in on this, please do so. And I have to raise my hand first because I didn't do a deep dive yet on this, but then I plan to. Because I want to see what's at, I kind of know what's at the core of this whole thing with Monique, the incredible Oscar-winning comedian. Okay. So we're, I'm not in a position yet until I do my deep dive to really go in. But I do want to say that maybe we can get a little bit of combo going, a little conversation coming up in the next half hour with Coffee Tea Conversations. We got to bring in Otto and Michael Hopkins. And I'm hoping that some of the angels, if not your other two-thirds of Michael's angels, can join us and just have a good old-fashioned talk about comedian Monique. Now, listen, I don't know all the details, as I just confessed to everybody tuned in right now, but there is a part of this that I kind of wanted to get into
because, you know, I'm a big fan. Let me first say, I love Monique. I never knew, if you guys know Monique's story. She kind of got on our radar. Of course, she was a stand-up comedian, but then we kind of discovered her on The Parkers, which was a spinoff from the popular Brandy series in the 90s. So that's kind of how she got on our radar and became a TV star. From there, she went on to an incredible career in comedy, stand-up comedy, as well as movies. And she won an Academy Award, for Precious. And she was fantastic, and I think deservedly so. Since then, she's kind of played here and there a few little things and more comedic stuff. But it seems that her public, her press, the way that she reaches out through to her fans and to the public, we call that the press. And so it seemed that it took a different turn that no one would want to see in terms of being something that was less than positive. And that's
right.
It
not very positive.
Exactly.
You're so right.
It's not positive. That's about the nicest we can say this, because if you have listened to any of Monique's comedy, she doesn't really. It's not for the faint of heart.
Exactly.
That's to begin
Definitely
with.
Definitely make sure no children are around.
Make sure. I'm worried about the adults too, for that matter. That lady can go to town with some words now and some things. So with that in mind, you can only imagine where this has reached to. Where now, and I don't know if you've seen this, Nicole Marie, but there is you know how they have all these memes on social media?
Yes.
There is this one that's circulating, and I wish I didn't want to reshare it because I don't like to share negative stuff too much, but it was funny. It really was. It had all the people that Monique was fighting with.
it was
a long laundry list. It cracked me up because it was lots of people. They had one out when the former president, who shall be nameless, was in office with the orange kind of look. And, you know, and they had one of him with all the people he was fighting with. It was just an endless list.
That's endless.
So
that will go on and on and on.
Well, let me tell you, I hate to draw a comparison.
But
here it is.
It's almost the same. And it's so
it's
sad.
It's almost the same. And it was so many people on Monique's list that I literally was looking for my name. I'm okay. I'm okay today. So I have to tell you, there's this whole thing, and this is what's happened with it for me. I did not know what she was fighting with D.L. Hughley. I had been seeing all the fellow comedians. I had been seeing all these things on social media. Monique and D.L. Hughley. What is going on now?
What's going on now?
I thought to myself,
yes.
Let me tell you something, Nicole Marie. The first thing went through my mind is, hold it. That's not the last person she was fighting with. What's going on now?
Exactly.
You know,
here's somebody else. Yes.
There must be somebody else. Now, if you guys don't know how this kind of jumped off, the whole thing I recall was the whole thing she kind of badmouthed Oprah Winfrey and a few others, you know, along the way.
Tyler Perry, Steve Harvey.
Exactly.
On and on and on.
The list goes on. We would be here until tomorrow.
Lee Daniels.
But the thing is, what I recall is that they wanted her. She had done a movie. For, I believe, Lee Daniels, Oprah, blah, blah, blah. And they wanted her to go and do a press tour
and she refused.
Get any pay. So now that turned into a big carfunkel and so forth and so on.
Right.
And she was went back and forth a little bit. And then Oprah kind of, according to what we see from on the outside, it looks like she kind of backed off a little bit. And then Monique, the comedian, just went in and you know, kind of in my thing, in just a very lewd kind of couple of comments. To put it mildly.
And that's what happens with everybody. Always comes back with all this negativity and all this. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Who's really the problem?
Well, you know, yes, exactly. Well, we're going to have to, I better put a cork in it for the moment, and maybe we'll get this back up with all of the,
let's definitely get back to this.
We'll get the rest of the folks on and see if they can weigh in. If you guys want to talk about it and you've dialed in on our 516 number, just press 1. We'll get you on to share your comment. You know, we're going to have a lot of fun. This is a juicy story. I mean, it is a little gossipy.
Real juicy.
But it is juicy.
Because like you, Carrie, like you said, you were a big fan of Monique. You know, I love her comedy. I loved her on The Parkers, in the movies. But this right here, this has turned me. This is definitely turned me. So,
yeah. And I have to tell you, maybe when we come back in the next half hour, we can talk during the coffee tea conversations, because I want to find out exactly. Now, the whole thing that kind of got to me, and I've only just through word of mouth and other folks telling me, but it has something to do with the comments that DL and they were supposed to do some kind of touring or something or another that turned into something else that didn't go right with billing.
Yeah.
And, you know, she wanted to be on the top billing. And then there's also the conversations about her husband managing her and their whole thing. And that's a thing out
all
there.
And
then
forth.
There's the whole thing with the child of DL and all this other stuff. So we're going to be talking about all these things. And I don't think this story is over yet. So, folks, if you've just joined us, let's kind of bring everybody up to speed here. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. We are live this morning. It's Wednesday, June 8th of 2022. It's our show number 723. It's show number, I had to double-check that. Show number 740.
We are moving right along.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yes. We are. Well, what's happening, Nicole Marie, is that we are going to have a big celebration as we march towards our 1,000th show.
Yay.
So awesome. That's our next big celebration, one show number 1,000.
And
I got to remind everybody, 1,000, this is not in my career accumulation of shows, or culmination of shows, if you will. This is just this live rendition, which hit the airwaves about 7 years ago. So it's been an incredible journey, and we're just loving it with all of you guys. It's just wonderful. So
amazing.
So that's where we are. Yes, I'm Carrie Hines, my amazing co-star. You hear Nicole Marie. She's out of Water Valley, Mississippi. And for you guys, and we're going to talk a little bit more, so more getting to know you, Nicole Marie. We want to let everybody know you're doing some amazing things down there in Water Valley, Mississippi. Where you're part of just everything that's happening. You're in the political arena, too, being with the city council down there.
City council
in your
member.
Area.
Yes.
I love it in Water Valley, and we are so proud of you. And
Thank you so much.
You're a mom, a wife. You're doing so many things. And now you're a co-star on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we are so happy for you. Well, listen.
Thank you.
Yes, well, we've got a lot to get into as we kind of move along a little bit this morning. If you did not get a chance, and listen, I really want you guys to do this. If you didn't get a chance to listen to yesterday's show, it was incredible. Dr. Yolanda Ragland, who is the foot podiatrist, we call her the Queen of Toes. What a name, the Queen of Toes. I always joke right after it. You know what, Dr. Ragland, I said, nobody is fighting you for that name. the Queen of Toes. Okay, the Queen of Toes. And you guys have heard fixyourfeet.com. She is the proprietor behind that, and they're amazing products. When you guys get a chance, please check her out. I love Dr. Ragland because she's so much fun and brings so much energy to the show every time she visits. And yesterday was no exception. So if you can, I've shared it on my Facebook under the Hair Radio Morning Show. We have a professional Facebook business page, the Hair Radio Morning Show. So just go ahead, search it out on Facebook. You'll see yesterday's show posted there. And you got to listen. You got to listen. It's just an incredible broadcast. So I think this is a good time to bring everybody on in to the convo this morning. It's time for coffee conversations. We're going to bring everybody on. Okay, so first, let me just say this gentleman who has just, he's risen through the ranks, literally, here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. He's come through the door, got on my radar not all that long ago at the International Beauty Show that happens at the Jacob Javits in New York City. And just a few months back, never knew that my life was going to change upon meeting this gentleman. And it has. And he has literally touched our fans just, you know, with his everyday talk. It's my great honor to bring to the line the man who literally spells his name. He's quite an anomaly. His name is spelled the same way forwards and backwards. O-T-T-O. Otto, good morning.
Good morning, Otto.
Coffee Tea Conversations Wednesday edition.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I enjoy being on the show. I appreciate it. I'm honored. And Nicole Murray, good morning. Harry Hines, good morning. How are you?
Thank you.
Beautiful Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday, June 8th, 2022.
Hump day.
That's right. Now, Otto, you're down in, just to give everybody a little bit of background here, you are in the amazing South Jersey. I was going to say Central New Jersey area. It's not too far from Trenton and Hamilton, New Jersey.
Right.
You are a proprietor yourself. You have your own amazing business, and you've been around for about as long as we have with a radio show with your own commercial painting business. And I'm so excited because what's your big correlation with us in addition to your – you guys have not seen Otto. I have. He's got hair that, you know, that you've got to see. And he's an incredible hair model and so inspiring. He really is, and just awe-inspiring and inspirational and aspirational, all that wonderful good stuff. And so you've been doing a great job, Otto.
Thank you.
You have more – yes, more than just the entrepreneurial talk, you bring the heart to the fans of the show every day with your participation. So what's going on, Brother Otto? How are you these mornings and getting up early for the Hair Radio? And what have you listened to on today's show?
Oh, it's a pleasure getting – I don't mind. I enjoy this journey. Today was, you know, this young gentleman Finding My Father with Vincent Ellis White.
Finding Chris My Father. Now, that was seven.
Yeah.
That was the first piece we ran today. So,
right.
Yeah.
And what was the Finding Chris My Father all about to you, Otto?
Well, it showed me, you know, his troubled youth with his, you know, not knowing the truth and the things he went through. And then as he, I don't know how he did it, honestly. He's amazing. He's achieved so many academic accomplishments and also the entrepreneurship. But, you know, being raised and told that his father wasn't his father, and then learning, at 16 when he was, angry and different things that he had went through. Because, sure, you know, he didn't know the truth and this man. And so I believe,
we're talking about. We're talking about author Vincent Ellis White. Vincent Ellis White. Vincent Ellis White wrote a book called Finding Chris My Father. And he came on our show to talk about it. And like the title, it really meant he went on a search to find his dad. And I was just surprised by it for me. And I love this interview with him. He talks to a lot of things. So, so we're going to get into that a little bit. Nicole Marie, what about you? Did you catch any of this Finding Chris My Father?
I certainly did. Yes, I love this interview. What I was so caught by is, I mean, I love his story. He went through so many different things growing up. And then, like Otto said, at 16, he found out that his father was not his biological father. And at that point, you know, he said he was doing some things that he shouldn't be doing and so forth, but it could have went just so much worse. But he turned it around and changed it for the positive and is now such an inspiration and role model for other children, for other adults. And, you know, it's just phenomenal. It's just phenomenal.
And we have that piece we run quite often here, especially around Dad's Day. Because the father experience is something that we've got to talk about or lack thereof, and we've got to talk about it. And we are doing just that. So, you know, and I just want to say for Vincent Ellis White, he came back to our show and so and gave us a follow-up to all of that. So we'll try to get that on as well for you guys.
Carrie, if I could just add something else that I found that was very profound. When he was talking about the father wound, that is so crucial because he was speaking of children and growing up and so forth, but that father wound, children carry it, lots of young adults and adults carry it for years and years and years because they don't have the answers to their questions and don't have that closure. And that's something that is, you know, hindering so many people.
Well, you know what, speaking of which, and I appreciate your that feedback on that, we're going to get into some of that closure and some of those discussions that are, you know, interesting, and you kind of have to, you know, stay on to hear some of this, coming up at 8 o'clock this morning, so in a little over 20 minutes, I should say, we have a wonderful, incredible gathering of men for the first time ever on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We are having this discussion with our own panel. You guys know our Hair Radio Morning Show collection of, we call it the guys of Hair Radio, if you will. We're talking about Eugene Davis from, he hosts a program here, a segment on the show on Thursdays at 8 called Conversations with Hair. So he joins Vet Talk Radio Show superstar Michael Hopkins. You guys know him. And also one of the gentlemen that you are listening right now to, Otto. So so we gathered these gentlemen and myself together to have a real no-holds-barred no-holds-barred conversation. It's a whole different show with a relationship. So, but you know what? I do want to say that you guys really have gotten into it. We're gonna have this all unfold at about 8 o'clock this morning. After that, so in about 8:30 or so this morning, we're having live talk about what you will hear. I invite you to stay tuned because what you're going to hear at 8 o'clock might surprise quite a few of you. It's a, you know, I just think you're going to be surprised. So stay with us. We've got a lot of things to get into. I'm just excited this morning. It's always a fun time, you know, to have you guys. And so I'll tell you what, as far as the songs that played this morning, because you guys have always asked me, Carrie, what songs, what's the music inspiration for the show today? I got on a wonderful, you guys know I'm a big fan of Alessia Cara. She is a beautiful young woman, a great singer. And, you know, at my point in life now, I'm not exactly the targeted demographic for most of the singers releasing music these days. And most of the folks who are, you know, as you get a little older, your music taste, you love what you love, but you kind of fall out with, you know, what the young people are playing these days on radio. But I have to say, when I discovered that song, Scars Too Beautiful, I just love Alessia Cara. It made me look up everything she's ever done. She has a beautiful voice. And we followed up with another song called Stay by the same artist. So, you know, good for her. We're going to, you know, maybe I'll get on some of her other stuff. She has a mature voice. and just to pay tribute. And then we're still celebrating black music the whole entire month of June and amongst many other topics. And even though Father's Day is coming up soon, we're celebrating the entire month. That's why we started early, because Father's Day to me is not just one day of the month. It's not even just
every
a week.
Every day. Yeah.
It's every day. Nicole Marie hit it on the head. And so I think you guys are going to enjoy this conversation this morning and just a lot of stuff. And much more to come on the show today. So you know what? I want to take a little bit of a commercial break. When we come back, now, Nicole Marie, I want us to get into some, you know, we've been trying to get this Let Your Spirit Soar going. And I think,
yes.
I think I have one to start with this morning. We'll do it live. We'll do it live.
All
and
right.
We'll see if we got the angels.
Nice.
And Michael Hopkins, what's going on in that realm of everything. So just stay with us. Again, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. So stay with us. More to go. Stay with us.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Coming soon. Don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston. Tony Terry.
It's for real, what I feel.
And of course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with the Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course, talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
I'm in Brooklyn, New York. Let me bring back to the line my great co-stars for this morning's episode. Of course, we're talking about Nicole Marie out of Water Valley, Mississippi, recent named permanent co-host right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And we've been having fun this morning, I think, Nicole Marie.
Good morning. Yes, we have. We've been having lots
good morning.
Of fun.
Exactly. You know
I'm
what?
Over here,
just,
I'm still over here dancing.
Yeah, I was about to say, Brandy. I think all that talk about Monique made me think about Brandy. And I'll tell you, and I remember when Brandy hit the scene back in the 90s. I'll tell you why it kind of always resonated with me, because I was living in Los Angeles at the time. Working for the airlines, of course, and I remember that the opening sequence, if you guys, from those of you who really go back on Brandy like this, I remember the opening sequence for Brandy, and it was back in, she was like at a water fountain and a little park and all this stuff.
Right.
Well, that was in a section called Leimert Park. And I remember this. I used to go to the barber shop right across the street from where that was shot. And Marla Gibbs from the TV show The Jeffersons, she had a theater right around the corner from there. It was on Crenshaw. You guys have heard of that. They always talk about Crenshaw and the Boys from the Hood. Well, that was on Crenshaw. I used to go there to the barbershop, Magic's Barbershop for you guys out in L.A. And just bringing back a lot of memories. You know, so I love Brandy's music. I really do.
I do
always
too.
Have. Yeah, she's phenomenal talent. You know, I love Brandy and Monica, in case you guys have not noticed.
Yeah, love them as well.
I think I meet you guys. Yeah.
And you know, Brandy's daughter can sing too, Carrie.
Really? I didn't know that. No.
Yeah.
I don't
have to check her out.
You know, really, what's her daughter's name? Do you know?
Oh, right off, I don't know. I can look it up real quick.
Okay. Well, we're going to have her Google this, Otto. You know. Yeah, because I would love to know. You know, I think I did see a video one day of her daughter. I think I did. Or they were in a car or something. I think I saw something. But anyway, see,
right.
let's Google that. Fans out there, if you guys know, please let us know. You know, and I just wanted to say, Otto's with us, of course, out of Hamilton. That's right, Hamilton, New Jersey. Is it Hamilton?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Hamilton. Okay, South Central, that kind of area. Okay.
Yeah, it's right on the line.
Listen,
it's separate.
On
Burlington.
On the line, okay. Trenton is what I remember, Trenton, New Jersey.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, and not too far from Philly. Okay, listen, I want to kind of get on the gentleman we've been kind of talking a little bit about. He had a big recent celebration, big birthday milestone. He's the host of the Vet Talk radio show. They've crossed over a year on the air on the Hairwaves Network, of course. We're talking about the illustrious host of Vet Talk, Michael Hopkins. Good morning again, Michael Hopkins. Good morning. How are you, sir? You're on with
Good morning,
Otto,
everybody.
Good morning, Michael.
And Kyrie Hine.
Morning, Brother Michael.
I tell you, the tremendous trio.
Yeah, we got a lot of energy. Well, now we're a quartet.
Oh, yeah.
Because you joined us. So,
Yeah. All we need is our recording contract, and we'll be just fine.
All right. Well, listen, I just want to say, first of all, welcome to this incredible mid-show part. We're closing out, about to close out the mid-show and go into our third and final hour of the day, and we're going to be getting into a whole bunch of father stuff, father talk. But first, before we do that, I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge, congratulations to you, to the incredible team at Vet Talk Radio. You guys, you listened to yesterday's broadcast. Michael brought it. You did a great job. You and the Michael's Angels panel with Nicole, our own Nicole Marie, Noor Jahan, and Katrina. And so it was really, really a fantastic broadcast. And I just want to say thank you for the veterans out there. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Excellent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great job, Michael.
And also big, big congratulations on marking a year on the air.
All right.
With the Vet Talk Radio show. So what do you think? How does it feel now to be? Yeah, he's now known as one of our legacy hosts. Michael wears two big hats. He wears the junior co-host on our morning show. As you guys know, he joins us about this time each day, weekdays. But then he also is the man who's the master of ceremonies, the host, an MC for the Vet Talk Radio show Tuesday mornings at 8:30 Eastern right here, 7:30 Central. So, Michael, how does it feel to cross that threshold over to a legacy host on the broadcast now?
Oh, it just feels, wow, that's how it feels, because when we started this journey with you, we had no idea that this journey was going to take off like this.
Not at all.
And I know I always tell the story of, it really started out, we were helping somebody else with another organization, and something just sparked me after talking to you, Carrie Hine. I just got sparked, and I said, you know what, I'm going to ask him about this thing that I do when I help veterans, and I talk to them about this claims process, because a lot of us have issues and we don't know what to do. And I kept thinking, I said, sure would be nice to have some type of show just to explain things to people. And I was a little intimidated at first, and I was a little, I guess, scared, because none of us want rejection. None of us want somebody to say, you know, that's kind of a dumb thing, and none of us want that, because we're human beings. We're not robots. But something just kept telling me to ask you, and I kept thinking about it. And I said one day, I said, let me just ask him his thoughts on this. Let's see what he thinks about. And the next thing I know, the idea intrigued you. And you said, well, what shall we call it? And I said, maybe we can call it Vet Talk Radio. How does that sound? You said,
Yeah, I love that. Yes.
Michael, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, and it kind of took off from there. But what I love about the whole show, and Michael and the Angels, Michael's Angels we call them, the producers of his show, and again, you guys, if you are just tuning in, you don't really know much about the Vet Talk Radio show, they have their own tab available right on the Hair Radio website. So go to www.hairadio.com. It's pronounced Hair Radio. Go to hairradio.com, HAIRADIO.com, just one R in the middle of Hair Radio. And go to the Vet Talk Radio Show tab. You can read all about what Michael covers on the show with the Angels and so much more. And we're putting a whole bunch of wonderful new things and content there for everybody.
Michael, what a word, spark. That's what Curry Hines, if you're out there, listeners or fans, and you have an idea or a thought and you think it's crazy, call in, talk to Curry Hines. This man has changed my life personally in all aspects.
Most definitely.
And marketing, he'll go to the mat for you. You know, if you believe in yourself, Curry believes in you. So I had a spark. I had a spark, and Curry Hines, you know, lit my spark, and I'm feeling I'm well on my way, and it's all due to the fact the Hair Radio Morning Show and the great crew I work with, Nicole Marie, Michael Hopkins.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sounds like a plan so far.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what it is that, you know, when I it just reminds me of my own journey, my own lane, is that I always say this, we're all on journeys, and everybody's, you can think of this, they're all parallel, meaning they're all side by side, if you guys remember those parallel lines in algebra and all of that. I mean, geometry, I think it was. But I think it's important. I do, and they don't really cross-check or intersect as we think. But I always want to help folks to reach their own, what they perceive their potential to be. I really do. And it just means a lot for me. And when I talk to people and I can hear in their voices what they were trying to do with their lives, and they felt that the world has kind of passed them by. And I know they feel that way because I'm raising my hand at a certain point. I thought I would not be able to come back and do another version of this broadcast. I remember in preparation for this, and I have the interview I'm going to run one of these days with the young lady who came and sat right here at our studio, and I haven't really played this interview in about 5 to 7 years for the simple reason it reminds me when she started to talk about her mom. She didn't know that I knew her mom. She came here to do an interview at our studio here in Brooklyn, New York, and she was like, you know, I'm talking to her and doing a great interview with her, blah, 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 and then she starts to say, yes, my mom, you may know of her, she's here, I don't know if she knew I know her mom, like I said, I'll play it and let you guys listen, and it turns out that, of course, I had worked with her mother about 20 years before that or something. She was a young lady. I had never felt so old in my life as I did on that one. And,
wow.
I felt so old. And then that same year, when I was bringing the getting back into the hair radio part of this, you know, I worked in the airlines and then went into finance and worked with securities, you know, stocks and things like that. So when I came back to do more of the hair radio, just real quick story. Okay, folks, just watch the background noise, guys. But yeah, when I came back to do the hair radio show, and Allison, you guys know her, who was one of our earlier co-hosts, really, on the show back in 2015. And she joined me, but it was so funny. She invited me to do a show for her out in a beautiful area in upstate New York. And I went there to do the show. To be part of it, really, I think it was to do her PR stuff. But she never even imagined me for, like, getting on stage or anything. And I just felt so sidelined because all that I had accomplished years before all of this stuff leading up to 2015 had been forgotten. And so I came back and had to rebuild myself from scratch. And then the next thing you know, I was back on top and hitting the stages, and then created my own 3-day show in Atlantic City at the Showboat Hotel. And Otto, you've heard of the Showboat down in your area, not too far from where you are.
Absolutely. I donate it to
there.
Yes.
Okay. I love that. And so all this to say, don't give up.
Never.
And nobody can say that your time is over. So, Otto, that means a lot that you believed in yourself and that all the folks, that's all you got to do is believe in yourself a little bit. And if you have a dream, I love making people's dreams come true. That is what I love to do, and to shock them with our stick-to-itiveness. And so, and we're just getting started here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. I plan to conquer the world. So stand by. Move over, Madam C.J. Walker. We love you, but move over. There is room for Kerry Hines and the entire crew of Hair Radio. So we're going to love that. Yeah. Now, switching gears, we did a lot of talk in recent, you know, we're celebrating the entire month of June. Of course, you guys know it's June 2022. And so Father's Day, which is really the 19th of this month, but we celebrate the entire month. We have quite a few themes going on. Coming up at a little after 8:30 or so, we're going to talk this morning. So in about a half hour or so, we're going to talk all about what you're about to hear. So the discussion moves over to Father's Day celebration, and I think you're going to be quite moved with this. So this is really quite a bit, and then stay with us. We got a big live chat coming up, and we want you to press 1 and talk to us about your thoughts. And this is going to inspire so much. We're going to talk a little bit more about it following this, so definitely stay with us. And that's all I can say. So we're going to just jump right on in. Let me just give a little bit of announcement, and then we'll jump right on in. Stay with us.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Kerry Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of the Sways Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
It is my great honor to bring to the line Eugene Davis with Conversations with Hair. Michael Hopkins from the Vet Talk Radio Show. Sure, good morning. And Otto with Coffee Tea Conversations and part of the Big Hair Radio Morning Show team. All three of you, good morning, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Listen, I want to kind of jump right on in. First of all, I've asked you guys, and this is the first time I think that you've ever been together for kind of like a celebration on the show. So I think this is really good. Well, at least together, just the three of you. So the reason for this epic episode is that we are honoring fathers. It's all about celebrating
for the entire month. We're not just picking a day to celebrate fathers. We're celebrating the entire month. So I'm very honored. I want to kind of lead on in. Let's start with Michael Hopkins. Michael, you are the host of the Vet Talk radio show. Like I said, right here on our network, you are a dad. Can you tell us, first of all, this is the first time we've really talked about this, but what can you tell us about being a dad and all that you're doing? How do you feel, and do you celebrate Father's Day?
Oh, yeah, on the Father's Day part, most definitely. Mm-hmm. My kids will start asking their mother. Apparently, it's a tradition that I always forget about. They usually ask their mother, what is it that daddy wants? Can you think of anything, mommy? And I'm always in the dark, and then my wife will ask me. She'll say, well, the kids are asking, is there anything in particular that you want? And then I got to think about it, and then I'll tell them something that I like, because they know I like hot rods, like books about hot rods, magazines.
You mean cars?
Cars, hot rods, cars. Oh, yeah, they know that's daddy's thing. If they don't know nothing else about their father and they're trying to locate their father, if there's a local car show, that's where I am. And they've been knowing this about me ever since they've been little. So, I mean, the father thing to me, it's got all kinds of facets to it for me. I have four adult children now, and it was funny when they were kids. And you got used to them as being small children, and every child has their own little nuances or their own little world, things that they do. And you get so used to it with them as children. But the reality is when they grow up and now they're adults, they kind of don't change, believe it or not. At least to me with my kids, I know which one does what, even though I have children in their 30s and 40s.
Wow.
I still know what they do, how they do, how they think. And it's an amazing journey. It really is. It's an amazing journey. Pretty much me and my wife, I guess you could call it empty nesters or almost empty nesters, because our son is still with us. He still lives with us. But, of course, when you're about 30 years old, you got your own things that you're doing.
Well, I'm sure you do. Okay,
yeah.
At 30.
Oh,
well, listen,
yeah.
I just want to say how awesome it is. It really is, and it sounds incredible. I've got to also just turn over to Otto. Otto, you guys know him. He has a recent addition to the Hair Radio Morning Show family. But he's been a very integral part of this whole broadcast with the coffee, tea, and conversation. So I got to say, Otto, I'm going to call you a pop. Nobody probably says that anymore. Nobody probably uses the word pop. But you're a dad. So what does this whole thing mean to you? And do you celebrate Father's Day?
Yes, thank you, Kerry Hines. Yes, I am a proud pop. It's my proudest job, actually, to be a father. I unfortunately lost my father when I was a young boy. And what it did to me is when I had my children, I didn't know what a father was in a home, but I know what I didn't get. So I gave all my kids what I yearned for as a child, you know, so I attended all their events, all their schools, events, sports, because when I played sports and I looked out in the audience, my father wasn't able to be there due to his untimely death. So I took it from another perspective, you know, not looking up to a father because I didn't have one. It was like, what did I miss? And anyway, I took it to heart. I mean, the job as a father, I shouldered that every day when I got up to go to work. I used to go in their rooms and make sure they were sleeping and comfortable. And I would go out in the day and be proud and speak about my children. And now that times have changed, like Michael said, they get older,
Sometimes I miss them, but I know what they're doing, and I know they're safe, and that's all that matters to me, is that they're okay. And I've always taught them there's going to be forks in the road, peer pressure. And without having a father, I fell to that peer pressure. And I told them the adverse effects of going down the wrong fork in the road. So, and they're all good kids. They're all doing things positive. And I'm very fortunate to have two beautiful daughters and a great son. I'm so happy and proud of them.
Now, did you choose, did you have someone else, you know, like another male role model figure? Someone who could step in like a surrogate dad, Otto, since, you know, I know you lost your dad early on.
Yeah. Well, I actually, my grandfather played a role, but he was from another generation. So it was kind of like his discipline and his mindset was old-fashioned and bizarre compared to my friend's dads. You know what I mean? They were like, why can't you do that? I'm like, well, my grandfather's just... And my mother was a pillar of strength in my life. She tried to, you know, portray both roles, and she did her best. And although I, you know, sometimes I failed her as a young man, but I made it better as an adult. When I had my children, actually, that's how I became a man in my own eyes, I believe, and my mother's eyes. You know, she saw that I had straightened out and was fine, and the kids, and gave her grandkids. But overall, I'd have to say pretty much my grandfather was an influence in my younger years, and then I just gravitated and formed my own set of goals and different things off my mother, actually. My mother was inspirational.
I have to tell you guys, I didn't know quite how this would go. We've never done a show or had any kind of real talk about dads in this regard on the broadcast. You guys are the three gentlemen who are dads on our entire network. You are the highest profiled males besides myself on the show, but I'm not a dad. And I have to tell you, it really is resonating quite. I didn't know it was going to reach home like this. But I've got to turn to the one and only Conversations with Hair host, Eugene Davis, who is a legendary stylist, as you guys know. Eugene, I've got to come on and just ask you the same question. First, do you celebrate Father's Day? And I think your children are... a bit younger than the other gentlemen on the panel today, Michael and Otto. But what would you like folks to know? Do you celebrate Father's Day, and what does it mean to you?
Hi, Kerry. Yes, I do celebrate Father's Day, and I do get into it, and my children get into it. I have five children under 14.
Five? Also, I didn't know you had five.
Yes. Yes, I have five. 14, 13, 11, 9, and 8. So that's
all
quite close together.
Okay.
But it's really fun around Father's Day because my kids are quite creative because my wife is creative, I'm creative, so they will make things and try to plan out things. But just like Michael, they go to their mom and ask what it is that daddy wants, and they know I love surf and turf, so you take me out for a good dinner, I'm good to go. You know, a good, nice, expensive dinner,
yeah.
I'm good to go. But, yeah,
I love it.
I'm looking forward to seeing my children grow to adults like Michael and Otto, and that experience I'm just looking forward to as a father to see it happen and it develop over the years and watching them develop. And my oldest, who's 14, I watch her now, and I've poured so much love and character in her, and just to see her develop into her own person as a teenager, because a lot of times I know how I was as a teenager, because like Otto, I didn't have my father present, so I had acted out a lot. And I know it was difficult for my mom, but again, like Otto, as an adult, I corrected that, and with finding Christ in my life, I was able to repair the relationship with my mom and seek out my father. And I found him when I was 40, 8 years old.
Wow.
So I found my father. And
what was that like?
So
you got to tell us, Eugene Davis. What
well,
on earth
it was
like?
it was different because, I mean, my father unfortunately is an alcoholic, and he that's his choice, and that's how he wants to live. And but you know, he embraced me somewhat, but he hadn't seen me in all those years, so he did was a little bit uncomfortable with the meeting. But that was okay because I just wanted him to know that it was okay. It wasn't his fault. I know why he wasn't in my life. It was because my grandmother didn't want him to be connected, and she raised me, and she took care of me, you know. And so I had to let him know. And just for my sense of finding out who I was, so for so long I tried to emulate other men that I saw or gravitate to people I saw were leaders, just trying to figure out myself. And but when I finally met him, because I always tried to who do I look like? Who do I look like? Because I could have relatives to say, you look like your father, but I've never seen my father. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when I finally met him, I said, I do look like him, you know? But it put perspective on me as a father. I do overly love my children. I'm very protective. I also like Otto. I go in there and I check that they're sleeping, that they're comfortable, you know? And it's just something I do. My wife tells me we live in a kind of a secluded area, and she's like, you're always locking the door. I said, I don't want nobody coming to take my children, you know? I was like, this is America.
Wow.
So I could be a little bit overprotective, but it's in a good sense, and I just really instill confidence in them, and I'm really looking forward to seeing them grow. So for Father's Day, to me, I think it's special, and I think it's just not about them giving me something, but just them recognizing that I'm there for them.
Well, I'm loving this. I really didn't, you guys didn't prepare me that I would be in therapy this morning on the show. I'm just blown away. You know, when I first had the idea to get, you know, Michael, Eugene, and Otto together to talk about Father's Day and celebrating Father's Day the entire month, I thought more about just you guys being a dad, you know, each of you, your father. And so I never really thought about the relationship, that like the same thing, I can totally relate to having the dad kind of missing. And I think that I would have felt the same way about, if I had kids. I think I would have just gone way overboard or whatever, overcompensated, you know, to all those things that you totally didn't get growing up that you yearned for. And I think that we as men and guys and, you know, little boys, I think we need that. We absolutely need it, and we don't it's not something that we talk about much because the whole machismo masculinity thing, perhaps. But I have to tell you, I think it's important. And I think this is a great, like I said, you've opened my eyes today very much. And I see how important, you know, having these kinds of conversations are. I really do. So this is something. Now, I have to, Michael, I want to just kind of turn back to you for a moment. What advice would you tell, you know, these young dads or someone who's looking at starting a family? What kind of advice you as a dad would share and talk about?
Well, you know, Carrie, one of the things that I would share, like with a young father or they're thinking about fatherhood, it's a total responsibility. It really is. And it doesn't matter what age the person is. It's a total responsibility having children because they look up to you. And it's not that they expect things because kids obviously don't know, but they look up and they watch you and they watch the things that you do, you know, be it good or bad. And I never realized this totally, Carrie, guys. I never realized this until years later. My children, as adults, would come to me and say, you know, Daddy, it was always you. You always were out there working, doing things. And and they acknowledge that they learned so much from me just watching me. They watched how I treated their mother with the utmost respect.
Mm-hmm.
They watched how, regardless of the circumstances, and like most families, a lot of times we go through a lot of hard times. Regardless of us going through hard times, through dangers and things like that, I always was steadfast. They could always count on Daddy, no matter what it was. They could count on Daddy to see it through. If we needed somewhere to stay, or the money was tight, or it was Christmas, or their birthdays, or just in general, they could always come to Daddy. Daddy would always give them some type of advice, but they always saw me as a role model. And at the time, when you're a father, it doesn't sink in that, gee, I'm a role model for my four kids. It doesn't sink in like that. But that was the most beautiful thing when my kids started coming to me, and now that they're 30s and 40s, and they're telling me all of this stuff. And it just caught me off guard. I just thought that's what you're supposed to do. You know, I understand, just like, you know, you guys are saying, all of us have that thing in common where sometimes Daddy wasn't there. In my case, just Daddy was not there. I had uncles that were my role models that I paid attention to, that I asked questions, and they pointed me in the right direction to do things. I saw how they did their families. I saw how they were the patriarch of the family, and they did the things that they were supposed to do to make sure that their family had a home, their family ate, their family got presents, their family, when it was discipline time, this is what you were supposed to do. You didn't do certain things, and, you know, this is consequences. That's how I learned. And also, when I went to the United States Army, and I went in at, 25, and I was a father, and that was the first time my wife, myself, we were on our own in Germany, in a foreign country, living on the economy or living with German people. So I had to learn how to budget. I had to learn how to do things. I had to learn how to be a man.
You had to learn. I was about to say, you had to learn how to be a dad, it sounds like.
Yeah, I had to learn how to man up.
I am just, listen, for folks out there, you guys are just tuning in. I'm Carrie Hines. You're listening to a very, very special Hair Radio morning show broadcast today. I'm talking with three gentlemen, all who are really Hair Radio Network stars. Each person has a wonderful affiliation with this broadcast. We have Eugene Davis. You guys know him. He's the host of Conversations with Hair, Thursday mornings at 8 Eastern. Always happy to talk with him. Otto, a recent addition to the network, he does a wonderful 7:30 in the morning talk weekdays right through the Hair Radio Morning Show with coffee, tea, and conversations. And, of course, you just heard from the illustrious Michael Hopkins, host of the now venerable broadcast, the Vet Talk Radio Show, which airs on Tuesday mornings at 8:30 right here on our network. I've got to say, this is I've got to ask everybody. I want to ask Otto. Otto, let's ask any advice you might give to youngsters out there. Same question that I asked Michael. Any advice you might offer?
Sure, and in today's times, even myself fell victim. The marriage didn't make it, you know, but I still had to be a father, and I know that's sometimes an epidemic proportion, you know. When I grew up, it was unfortunate I lost my father. Most of the families had their fathers, but I'd say doesn't change, you know. I know I'm speaking to a lot of young fathers out there. You know, stay focused, stay diligent on the children. You know, even if you can't live with them, you know, I visited my children. I had them at my place. I spent all the holidays. So it hurts, you know, because I didn't want to fall into what I felt as a child, missing my. I kept that going. It was a sad day when marriage didn't make it. But you know what? I never gave up on the kids. I never bad-mouthed their mother in regards to, you know, the things that occurred. I just, you know, sucked that up. Like Michael said, I had to be a man about that. And, you know, tell them, you know, just focus on our time together. And if you're young and unfortunately things don't make it, stay with the children. Stay with them. And no matter the odds or the adversities, you must be their father. And they can always, you know, and thankfully my mother, my father had passed away. You know, you're not. You're still alive and you're still in their life. That was the key I had to learn. And that I'm still here. And I can still be, as Eugene said, and Michael, you know, an influence, a role model. So that's what I do. I focus the last 12 years in regards to still being in their life. And I told them, nothing's changed. I always reinforced to them, nothing's changed. I'm still your father. I'm still there. I'm a phone call away. I'm not a bedroom away anymore. You know, but when you come and stay with Dad, I'm a bedroom away. But I always also, and I was taught by my mother, actually, each child has to be dealt with individually. Some need a kick in the butt. Some need a hug, you know. Wow. And I made sure that I always gave him a hug and told him I loved him. And I said, don't
that
ever.
Kick in the butt.
yeah. It's my son.
Yeah,
never, like with especially my girls, don't ever go without. Insufficient funds, you know, creates heartache. Don't ever, like, come to me first. Don't think that pride or you're embarrassed. You come to me. Don't ever lie to me because I can't help you. I can't make it right. Come to me with the truth, and I'll straighten it out. And that's my role. I took my role seriously as a father. Like I said, I shoulder it, and I'm a proud father who – and now my older daughter's coming back to me at some age. The girls tend to think that, you don't know nothing. You've been nowhere because they're growing and they're learning. And later on, my oldest daughter and my 18-year-old daughter we're in super contact and I'm involved. We've always been in their life, but I haven't been physically in their life because of the changes. But it doesn't change the fact of the matter is you're their dad.
Yeah, not to interrupt you. I just hope that you guys play this wonderful piece today with, you know, for your children and your families. I really do. I think it's quite remarkable, and I feel very privileged just to be able to bring this to our listeners on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I've got to ask Eugene Davis, and we'll wrap it up, but Eugene, host of Conversations with Hair, as we just mentioned, on Thursday mornings at 8. What do you say? You've got teenagers. We've always been told, I'm going to speak for myself, you guys know, but I've always been told that teenagers are a handful, can sometimes be challenging, especially perhaps in this world today with social media, something that we probably didn't have to deal with in our day. So what has it been in a big headache, so to speak, of trying to be a dad and deal with children on social media and doing all kind of challenges these days and just things that didn't exist a few years back?
Okay. Well, it can be a bit challenging because of the devices can, like, really control them. Like when you see movies, the shows, and you see the kids constantly doing stuff. But one of the things that me and my wife, because my wife works from home, I work from home, and we're at all
really
kinds of devices and computers and stuff, and they see that we are being productive. So what we try to instill in them is when they're going to use their devices, great, you can play games, but let's try to learn a language. So they do Duolingo, you know, so every day they take about a half an hour just learning French or learning Spanish. So I have two learning Spanish, two learning French, and one learning Mandarin. So this is what we've instilled in them to just be productive on the devices they have, and they can take the time. But we don't let them go onto social media too much right now, maybe YouTube, because we know it can have an influence. But I always tell the children, if you have any questions, that's something you see or you don't understand it, come ask your mom or come ask me, and I'll explain it. And if it's inappropriate, we're going to block it and make sure that it's not part of, you know, your device. And that's how we deal with that. My teenagers are actually really good kids. They're into sports. They're good in academics. They play instruments. So I do have other things that are going on with them so that they don't just focus in on technology, you know, because – and then me and my wife, we even have to – even though we work in the mornings to maybe afternoon, and they know this, so they now that they're out of school, they take the time to be productive doing other things like cleaning the house. But But we also will say, okay, we agree we're going to work to 2 o'clock, and then we're going to take them to the park. We're going to take them to the beach, or we're going to take, you know, we have to be, just get them out of the house, away from technology, and just living a normal life. And sometimes we even bought a trampoline and say, go outside and jump, because we don't
want
them to get stuck behind, stuck behind a device all the time. So that's one of the things that we have done. But like I said, with my teenagers, they're very good. We've instilled confidence into them, and we've instilled them respect. We respect them, and they respect us, so we don't have, you know, rudeness or anything like that, thank God, so far. But I think they'll be okay because we do take the time to invest into them and talk to them and listen to their concerns and respond in a responsible way instead of dictating to them.
All right. Well, on that note, I have to just thank each one of you, really. And let's use this time. I'm just going to go around quickly and just give, what would you like to say to your children? I think we should use this time to do just that. Why don't we lead in, Otto? Why don't you kick us off with that? Give us some words that you'd like to say to your children at this time.
Call Dad more. Call me. No.
I love it.
Now, <there's...
laughs> hit him up, kid.
Yeah, call Dad more. But, man, they're a blast. Eugene, my son's actually young, too. I have a 14-year-old, so he's in sports. He's got a game. I travel and watch him. I'm just proud of them all. Just hang in there and enjoy life. Enjoy life. And happy Father's Day to Michael Hopkins and also Eugene Davis.
Yeah. Absolutely, and all our fans as well. And we'll get into that. Eugene Davis, what about you? What would you like to say to your children today? If they're all tuned in, and I'm sure they're going to hear this, what would you like to say?
I'd like to say to them that I'm proud of them, that they continue when they wake up in the morning, thank God, and make every day awesome. And just do their best. And I'm proud of them, even in their failures or their successes. I'm the same dad. I won't change. I will always love them, and I'll stand by them no matter what. And I'd like to say that I'm proud of them, you know. I couldn't be more prouder, and I look forward to seeing who they become. And happy Father's Day to Otto and Michael.
and all the fans, yes.
Being a father
awesome.
Is great.
Awesome. Yes. Michael Hopkins, we are going to turn to our Vet Talk radio show host, Michael Hopkins. What would you like to say to your children?
Oh, that I love all four of them, and I'm very proud of all the things that they've accomplished in life, you know, the grandchildren that they gave us and all that good stuff. And yeah, same thing. Right back out at you guys too, man. So you guys got young kids. I'm wrapping my head around that one too. But you know,
I just thank my kids. Otto has 3. Eugene, you have 4, and Michael has 5. Is that how? The other way around. Michael has 4, and
Eugene got the 5.
Eugene got the 5. Okay, well, I gave you an extra kid. Wow.
Oh, no. We got to send them back to you, Carrie, or trade them with Eugene or Otto or something. Oh, no.
I actually can say I'm so incredibly proud. I really am, because you guys all share this incredible bond, just being a dad. But just, you know, I'm not surprised that your children are well-adjusted, young people, because I look at the men you guys are. We hear it. The fans of all of our shows, they hear it. And so they're not surprised. So listen, I just want to thank each of you. And again, we're celebrating the entire month. It's all about recognizing the dads and the fathers and if, you know, for those of us whose dads are no longer, you know, out here walking physically, you know, but we carry them with us each and every day. And hopefully this has really made a difference today in your life. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Again, Eugene Davis, Otto, Michael Hopkins. I'm Carrie Hines. Thank you.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Well, okay. It's about 8:38 Eastern, 7:38 if you're in the Central Time Zone. And it's Wednesday, June 8th of 2022. This is a good time to press 1 if you'd like to talk live. I want to hear from you guys on what your thoughts were on the whole piece that you guys heard. You witnessed it with me. It was the first time I've ever seen guys be that candid about being a dad and or having no dad and or being married and being a father versus not being with the mother and being a dad still. So I want to hear from you guys. I want to know what you're thinking. What is it that you are thinking this morning with this in mind? And I see some folks standing by. We're going to get you guys on in just a minute. First, I got to bring my incredible co-host and recent addition to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. She's one of the producers on Michael's Vet Talk radio show. Nicole Marie out of Water Valley, Mississippi.
Yeah.
All right.
Good morning
again.
Leading
with you. Yes, good morning again.
Yes.
It's the last half of the show. And we're doing a special extension of Coffee Tea Conversations this morning. So, Nicole Marie, what do you want to say? What went through your mind and on this whole thing about dad?
Well, let me first just say what a wonderful and introspective and heartfelt interview. Oh, gosh, I just enjoyed that so, so much. And it was just amazing just to hear Michael and Otto and Eugene just pour their heart out, and just you could just feel just how proud they were to be dads and how proud they were of their children and just what they poured into their children. And just like you said earlier, you know, some married, you know, Otto was divorced, Eugene married, Michael married, but still, they're still dads. They never stop being dads. They continue to be dads. They continue to pour into their children. And it's just amazing. I just love it. I love it. There's nobody like dad. Dad is such a role model and such an integral part of children's lives. And I know there are so many that are missing that in so many homes.
Yes.
But I just love this.
So did I, Nicole Marie. It was just very moving. I turn on my TV every day here in New York City, in Brooklyn, to be exact, and I yearn to see programming like this. Yearn.
Yes. Yes.
It just totally doesn't land on the people who put crap in front of my face every day. It's just so defeating. are, especially, you know, for all young men and men, particularly of color as well, who our stories are not our own out there. But the one common thread this morning is that everybody, you guys were dads. So let's get on. I think one of our great additions also I see out there, Ms. Shanta Love, the Organic Love Collection, wonderful addition to the show. Shanta, stand by. I'm going to come to you in just a moment. I want to get Otto, one of the men that you guys just heard on with us right now, Hopkins, Michael Hopkins, BTR host. And we're shouting out Eugene Davis. He'll be with us on Thursday show for his special Conversations with Hare. So he's got something great he's working on for tomorrow. So you don't want to miss that. I got to turn to you guys. Otto, Michael, did you guys enjoy this piece?
Oh, yeah.
It was great interview. Great.
Yeah, Eugene Davis, powerful man. I enjoy Michael Hopkins, role model. Myself, you know, just being a dad, man, it's all, so important to the kids that they understand they have somebody to turn to, and a mother too, but I mean a male role model. Yeah.
Well, see, that's exactly what I was about to jump in with, which I have to hear this from you guys. Particularly, I wanted to bring the ladies on in together to give a little bit of some feedback on this. Shanta Love, out of the southern part of New Jersey. Shanta, good morning to you. Welcome. It's always great
good morning,
to drop
Shanta.
You.
Yes,
good
Shanta
morning.
Love. Enjoy,
Shanta
good
love.
Good morning.
Yes, good
it's
morning.
So nice
Shanta, you may have only caught
I'm
a little
sorry.
Bit of this, but it was about the dads and fathers. I know we're coming up on Father's Day a little bit later this month, but we celebrate the entire month of June, and truthfully, every day. So today was a very special broadcast about dads and all of that. So, I just wanted to get to what did you guys want to say, Nicole Marie and Shanta Love? What's your perception on dads and all that kind of stuff? Since Nicole just talked, what about you, Shanta? What do you think?
Dads are a wonderful thing. Men are seen as protectors. I always had a dad. My dad and mom was married. It would have been 49 years. No, maybe 51 years, excuse me, this year. He passed in 2020 during the COVID season.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wow, that's
right. A good life. Wow. Yes, he came back from Vietnam and no addictions, nothing. He worked up until retirement for Amtrak, and he retired with honors.
Wow.
He was so excited about when the coming of my baby. Unfortunately, you know, as relationships go, I'm a single mom, and I became a single mom during pregnancy. So my father was the one voice to say, have your baby, and I will be here to welcome that baby. And if you need help, I'm going to help you. And he just made me feel strong in an area where I was uncertain. And that's what fathers are for, to look towards for strength. And for those of you who have absent fathers, I always pray that God will make, you know, that available to you as you need it. Because a father really changes the atmosphere when it's a father in the household. In recent studies, I did a study where I did the Fatherless Generation. That was the name of the study. And it says, two out of three households worldwide are missing a father. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Wow.
So because of the rate of divorce,
we can say we just can't imagine. We've lived it. And let me tell you
something. A father is a precious thing. Thank you.
Shanta, you hit it on the head. And I think that all of us guys can echo this sentiment. You hit it on the head. I did not realize that it was that important. And I'm going to tell you the truth. When I was in my 20s, I just didn't think much about it. I'm like, it didn't matter. You know what? As I started to get a little older, I realized how important it was and that the things that you didn't get. Now, and then later, as time moved on and then I was you know, kind of like in my 30s. Now, I'll let you know how it is when I get to the 40s. But for the most part right now, I'm
okay.
Through the 30s.
Okay, but, all right.
You know,
okay, Jack Benny Terry, huh?
All right,
okay.
We'll part that. But, yeah, but I'll tell you, it's something that stays with you. And it's so,
yeah.
the cut is so deep. And what society has done is pour salt on it, you know, for black
yeah.
men and just men in general. They give us and give the guys who are dads a real bad name, you know. And then it's got to be the moms versus the dads. And it doesn't have to be. To me,
right.
It seems that it should be partnerships. And I think that's what it seems like. And I think the most effective relationships out there, familial-wise, is in having those kind of partnerships exist. And so I was curious. So, Shanta, I love what you said. And Nicole
yeah.
Green, Michael, out of all of you guys. Now, hold it. I want to play this. This, actually, I got into a lot of trouble for this yesterday because the guys did not know that I was still rolling with when this was kind of said to everybody yesterday, and it just it's something that kind of stayed with me a little bit yesterday. So I kind of will never forget this whole thing, and I think you guys are going to be a little bit surprised about it. So I'm going to try to find that and get it on for you guys today. Because I think you guys you'll tell me a little bit more about what it is. So I'll tell you what, why don't we take a commercial break quickly, and when we come back, I'll have that piece on for you. So stand by, everybody. We've got a little bit more to go this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Awesome. Great stuff, everybody. Great stuff.
Morning coffee.
Coming soon, don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston, Tony Terry, and of course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with the Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course, talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
Oh, we know, Carrie, we're dealing with producer extraordinaire. So when we're dealing with you, Carrie Hines, it ain't no such thing as it's going to be aight. No, it's never going to be aight. It's always going to be excellence, Carrie.
That's
what you do, man. You bring out the excellence in
yeah,
all of us.
Awesome.
You
yeah,
do.
Yeah,
you make us. See, you make us step up to the plate. And
yeah,
you bring
right.
out us being professional at doing this. That's what you do, man. I mean,
wow.
You know, that's what you do. Wouldn't you guys agree with that?
Absolutely.
I agree. And I think it's trusting, Carrie, too. Like, you can't open up or can't be 100% honest if you don't trust the host or trust the person who you're dealing with. And I think that's the camaraderie that's there. Everybody trusts Carrie, and then we trust each other.
Wow. Wow. We're back live. Wow. It's about 10 minutes of 9 this morning, New York time, 10 minutes of 8 for Nicole Marie and the folks out in Central Time Zone. Listen, everybody's on. We have Michael Hopkins, Otto, Shanta is still with us live, Nicole Marie. What do you guys, you know, did you hear that? Now, that was run after the show, and that was real talk. So you heard Michael, and for me, when I heard it, I'll tell you what I heard after I hear from you guys. Michael, what happened? Well, you came in with this after we had already concluded our father talk. What made you comment about my production skills?
Well, basically, Carrie, I mean, it was just, I'm still kind of emotional right now on what we did. I'm still kind of emotional with the reason being. It just brought back all kinds of, like, feelings that sometimes the guys in my generation, you know, we military guys and we got to be stalwart and, you know, we real men don't cry, you know, all of that crap that you find out, it ain't real. You know, we're human beings and we're allowed to do stuff. But what made me say that, I mean, I enjoyed what we did so much, and I just had to tell you. When you have us on and we're a team and all that, and I just love being on this team. I've been on all kinds of teams and everything. I love being on this team, this Hair Radio Network team. And
thank
this
you.
Is, you know, I just love it. And I just had to say something to you about what you do, man. I mean, this is what you do. You're Carrie Hines. You're not just the average guy doing this. You're Carrie Hines. Mm-hmm. You do excellence, my friend. And all of us on here would agree with that. You do excellence. And you have us be the best that we can be on this format. And you have given a lot of us just that chance, man. You know, we always say it, but I'm here publicly to say it. Carrie Hines, you have given all of us a chance to be who we can really be. You've given us a chance, and we love you for doing that for us, man. You know, there's no other way to say it.
That's appreciated. I actually need to say very much the same thing back to you guys. Mm-hmm. The same sentiment you've just expressed to me is what I can say to each of you. And so with mm-hmm. Michael and Otto and all of you guys, mm-hmm. and this wasn't supposed to be a comment on Carrie Day, but I just want to say thank you. And every time I hear that piece, that was candid talk, it just, you know, and for me, it just makes me work even harder. And the fact that maybe all that of, you know, we all had that in common, stats were kind of missing for one reason or another. I think that everything happens for a reason in preparation for other things in life. And if mm-hmm. nothing more, I think that whole piece for me, because of that, it prepared me for doing just what we did. And being able to use that to touch and potentially change the lives of others. And so we don't know why things happen. You know, I look that there's always a grand plan. You know, I have a small plan, but there's a grand plan out there that is out of our control. And if this program can touch the lives of others, it means a lot. You know, most people know that the way that I communicate, I usually hover around the truth. I'm not big on making up stuff and pretending. So if I tell you I like you, I like you. Okay, I don't think that's a secret out there.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to share. You know, Carrie Hines is the voice of the hair industry, but that's
his
niche. Sir. But look. What you've done with your platform for Michael Hopkins, all the veterans that he touches, hopefully the young men and women, you know, I can touch, Eugene Davis, Nicole Murray, everybody that's listening is getting hopefully something is
and
encountered
Shanta.
Through their day.
And
Shanta Love, I love her shea butter. But I got to realize.
Oh, that
like
was good,
said,
Otto. I like that one. That was good. You're getting that accent, man.
Much is expected, you know. Much is given, much is expected. You were given a gift, and you've used it for the good. And I really respect you for that. I look to you as a friend, and almost you know like a big brother or younger brother.
Well, I
sorry.
Feel like a dad today. I feel like a father. I really do.
Well, this is your
no
your
problem.
Baby.
You can you can Carrie, you can rent any of our kids anytime you want. grandkids, I got 9 of them, man. You can play dad for them. You know, it works for me.
Well, I feel like a dad. I really do. I feel like a dad on the radio to all the fans and everything that
yeah.
we do. There's nothing that I don't do every day is thinking, how is this going to land to our listeners? How is this going
right.
to land to the fans
right.
of the show? And when I'm so tired and I don't feel like getting up in the morning, I say, gee, it would be so nice to just put on a repeat or not do the show today just so I can get a few minutes of extra sleeping. And then I say, oh, no. We've got all kind of fans. People are standing by looking to connect with us today. And I need to get my little lazy butt up and do the show live as we do and touch the folks that we are put here to do. And I'm grateful every day that I have the strength from the higher power to do what I do. And I love it. We love all of you. You have been amazing. And, you know, this journey for all of us, again, I talked a lot about parallel journeys, and I kind of thought that our lives were just everybody's in line, like at a you know big race or something. But the real truth is, our lives do intersect, and this is demonstrated every day on this broadcast. So I thank the folks. I thank the wonderful sponsors who help and support us. I mentioned about Organic Love Collection. I mentioned you guys heard about Rugged Evolution Beard Care. You heard about FixYourFeet.com. Sam from out at Bob'sa, who's always looking for sales reps and his You Go Girl products. To everybody who supports us, Statewide Chip, he's coming with some different things. All of the folks who help and to make this program special each day, you have reached your goal. So I appreciate you. And we've got a lot more new things to come. I think Eugene Davis, he'll be with us tomorrow at about 8 o'clock Eastern. He's got something new on his conversations with Harry.
Right.
You don't want to miss that. So I'm real excited. And we are looking to continue this. The whole month we have, if you think today was hot and quite interesting, which I think it was one of the best pieces we've done in a while, I think. And we do some good stuff here. We've got more upscale talk on the way on Friday, and we also have – I'm going to try to get more on with that wonderful live chat that we've been doing in recent days. And don't forget,
Hope
starts at 7 in the morning, then conversations kicks off about 7:30, and then we have our spotlight at 8. And for the first hour from 6 to 7, we just have a lot of fun and some recent things and all kinds of extra little things in our Let Your Spirit Soar is new in that space, and I just want to say thank you. Let me get on. You know, I got to say, I love our song outros and all of that. So let's go ahead. I'm going to try to put on something just to kind of go ahead and end out. Let's end out with a song, even though we don't do too much of that. Let's try to get that. A classic song. Let's put on something classic. Here's Janet and No Sleep. Guys, I'll see you back here tomorrow. 6 a.m. 9. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.